You're listening to the Winsight Podcast Network.
Take your industry insights to the next level by becoming a restaurant business subscriber. Go to restaurantbusinessonline.com, click on the blue subscribe button in the upper right-hand corner, enter promo code PODCAST23, that's PODCAST23, to get your first month of RB Basic for free. After promo period, current rates apply. And now, please enjoy this episode of Menu Feed.
Welcome to Menu Feed, a weekly podcast from Restaurant Business and Food Service Director. I'm Pat Kobe, Senior Editor covering menu, food, drink, and chefs for both brands. Joining me on the podcast is Andrew Mundy, co-founder of Local Kitchens, a new company that partners with emerging concepts, independent restaurants, and chefs to offer their best dishes under one roof. Customers can dine in, take out, or get food delivered from any or all of the restaurants, personalizing a meal with all their favorites. While Local Kitchens has traditionally partnered with existing restaurants, its newest collaborator is Andy Ricker, chef founder of Pock Pock in Portland, Oregon, and known worldwide for his skill and deep knowledge of Northern Thai cuisine. Ricker worked with Local Kitchens' culinary team to develop Tam Sang, an original restaurant serving a one-of-a-kind menu not offered in any brick-and-mortar location. Listen as Andrew shares the details about Tam Sang, how he plans to grow Local Kitchens from its current 10 locations, and the future culinary collaborations that may be in the works. Welcome, Andrew. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks so much. Super excited to be here. It's an honor.
Great. Well, let's begin by you telling me a little bit about Local Kitchens, since you're one of the founders. What was the culinary vision for Local Kitchens when it started up?
Yeah, I think it's changed a little bit. So we started in the middle of the pandemic. So, you know, I was in kitchens 12, 15 hours a day with a mask on. We were some of the only workers that were approved to actually go to work. At the time, I think it was really, really great because we weren't really stuck in our house if we could die or what the deal was. But basically, we first started by partnering with brands and specifically restaurants in San Francisco. A big part of what we were doing was helping restaurants expand. So it became very obvious to us that, especially mid-pandemic, when brick and mortars got hit so hard and really turned into pickup and delivery hubs because we couldn't go to restaurants, we really believe that was part of like a bigger trend that was going to persist, you know, even after the pandemic. And so what we've always done is partnered with restaurants, made their food from scratch, same as they do. So if they're frying chicken, we're making the batter in-house. We have a prep cook coming in at, you know, 6 a.m. or sometimes overnight. And I think what we've evolved to a little bit is some of these co-developed brands. One of the ones we'll probably talk about is Tam Sang, which we partnered with Andy Ricker, which is pretty brand new. And it's not like we're taking the exact same dishes from a specific restaurant. It's kind of a new creation, but with an existing brand, which is really Andy. And so we're doing a lot of different things and we're producing food in really different ways. But at the core of it, it's mix and match. It's a food hall. You walk into a restaurant, you've got, you know, 6 to 10 different cuisines, brands, options. And you can come with families and friends and pick up delivery and a little bit of dine-in.
So it's not all virtual. You can actually walk in and order something.
No, I mean, it's heavy pickup and delivery, but it's not virtual at all. There are no like virtual brands that are kind of hacked together, low quality food or any of that. And when you walk in, you know, you're going to speak to an actual person. They're going to welcome you. We talk a lot about hospitality. And so I think a lot of the principles of what have made American dining and dining in general popular, we've maintained with a kind of newness to it and using technology and all these different things.
Cool. And so what are, I know we're going to talk about Tam Sang, but what are some of the other independent restaurants you've partnered with before that?
Yeah, so our first one was Proposition Chicken, which will always have a dear place in my heart for, you know, taking a chance on us. We've also partnered with Senior Sisig, which is kind of a cult following in the Bay Area. Boba Guy is a pretty recent one. You know, Milk Bar, you probably know this, very famous where you are in New York.
Right.
The Melt, really popular burger brand, and then some probably less known but really popular cult favorites. There's one called Nash and Proper, which is Nashville fried hot chicken, which is based out of Sacramento. So a lot of really interesting different brands.
And how do you train the people who work at the locations, you know, to do the recipes just like they do in the restaurants?
So it's very similar. I mean, we organize by station. So you have maybe a flat top station, a fryer, expo, all these things. And so at its core, the fundamentals are, you know, burgers, burritos, bowls, salad. So it's very similar to that. And then I would say culturally, we make it a very strong point. One of our values is honor food. And a lot of that is around honoring the brand creator and the chef. And so we're not mixing ingredients. We're not taking, you know, the lettuce from one and combining it with another. We're making sure that we maintain the integrity and the uniqueness of each of those items, because I think that's not a great guest experience. And it's also the partner's biggest fear is like, how do I know that my, you know, burger buns aren't ending up on some other brands and you guys are just doing random things. So we take that stuff all really seriously. And then in terms of training, very, very structured, you know, all of our technology shows exactly what the cook's been trained on and how good they are at that. And we track all of these things, which is more of a kind of new age way to go about it.
So one cook doesn't like prepare burritos and fried chicken, or can they do both of those, you know, like from two different concepts?
So we have tiers, which is a really cool kind of promotion opportunity. So someone might be trained on every single item in the kitchen. That would be kind of the top tier of cook. But when they come in, they're focused on, you know, one station, which could be multiple concepts, but it's like one technique, which would be burgers or burritos or frying or whatever it is.
That's really interesting. It's a very different kind of model.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to create some of your own restaurant brands, starting with Tam Sang. So tell me how you started to go in this direction and about your partnership with Andy Ricker.
Yeah, so there, we call it co-development. So it's not like our own or we're making up a brand. So what happened with Andy is we got a lot of guest feedback that there's demand for Thai. I think it's one of the less obvious cuisines. Naturally, you would think burgers, burritos, tacos. So that guest feedback combined with market data taught us that Thai is actually one of the most popular cuisines in the US. And then, you know, naturally a lot of our team members are, you know, various high level chefs and cooks and foodies. And so our team was very familiar with what Andy built in Portland with Pok Pok. And so we reached out with kind of a new idea, which was, hey, let's co-create this menu. You know, you can be the genius behind a lot of it. Our feedback will be, this is some of the equipment we have. Here's how we can make certain things of our kitchens. Here's some constraints. And then here's some market data of what we know will sell. And so Andy flew out from Thailand. He spent 10 days with us and with our head of culinary and our team. And they kind of jammed on a lot of different ideas. We did a bunch of tastings. And then we came out with the menu that we have today.
So what are some of the items on that menu? What are some of the dishes that work especially well?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite is the khao soi, which is a dish that Andy created. And I remember the first time I tasted it, I was just like totally blown away. Honestly, it was like one of the best things I've ever had in my mouth in my entire life. Just insane flavors, really thoughtfully designed, even down to the packaging. So if you're familiar with a khao soi, there's all these different components of, you know, noodles and chicken and crispy noodles. And we have to think about this because if you're in a restaurant, and you're sitting down, it can all come out at once. But when you're enjoying this in your home, we have to actually separate some of the packaging because some of these ingredients will be really compromised if they're sitting in broth, you know, 45 minutes later. So I'd say the khao soi is one of the top ones that I think is just insane. And then the wings. So there's these extremely crispy wings that Andy makes, and they're also really just to die for.
Yeah, those are one of his signatures because I actually had them at Pok Pok once.
Yeah, so these are not the Pok Pok wings. They're different, but they are, he's using these Thai techniques that are very specific and unique that make them as crispy as they are. And so people just love them.
Did you have to bring in new equipment to make some of his dishes, or could you use what was existing?
We have a pretty robust kitchen set for all of them. So I think that's one of the biggest differences between us and others. When this space got created, I think there was almost like a gold rush of virtual brands, which was really like, what can you get par-cooked and pre-made that we can just heat up in a microwave? Almost like if you're at Starbucks or something and you had one of those things heated up. We had a very strategic decision to make, which was we're going to have hoods, we're going to have flat tops, we're going to have fryers. We believe that all of this equipment is required to make really high quality food. And I think there's no way we work with someone like Andy if we just show up and say, hey, we've got a couple turbo chefs, make it work. And so we didn't have to add any equipment, but I think a big part of that is because we actually have prep areas and proper cooking areas, and it's a full kitchen.
Did you have to, I mean, when you bring in these concepts, you have to limit the menu to a certain number of items? Because, I mean, it would be too complex if it was a huge Thai menu.
Yeah, I'd say when we started, the floodgates were open and we had maybe something rivaling Cheesecake Factory. And, you know, I think some of the experts we brought in questioned us and thought, you know, I don't know about this. And now we've been really strategic on what sells and what doesn't. And quite honestly, I think there's a little bit of a challenge for guests to pick through such large menus. And so sometimes, like for Andy's, it's the smallest menu we've ever done. It's four items, but still sells incredibly well. And for some others, we're probably more in the 10 to 15 item range. And then in terms of throughput, we think a lot about total items, total SKUs that a kitchen can actually handle. And so while eight brands seems pretty crazy, and I get this question a lot from partners, like, how are you possibly going to do this? The total item count and the total SKU count, it's not really that different from a standard kitchen.
And did you have to bring in new packaging for some of his items? I mean, to keep like the crispy wings crispy or?
Yeah, I think packaging is one of the more interesting topics in the space of like, how do you get really high quality food to someone's house that's not, you know, dried out or too moist if it's not supposed to be moist and all that stuff. So we did have a couple of new packaging containers that we can use for some other items. So there's cross-utilization. We don't want 100 packaging SKUs. But I'm glad that Andy as a partner was like really thoughtful about that. And I think what brought us together was just the extreme care and love for the guest. Really thinking when someone's at home, how are they going to experience this? And every food tasting we do it out of the packaging. You know, we do it, cook it, eat it 45 minutes later, right? We simulate the exact guest experience. And that's how we end up with really great outcomes for guests.
Oh, great. And does he provide any of like the sauces or seasonings? Does he have like do those come in like already prepared so that you get the proportions right? Or do you do those from scratch?
Yeah, so everything's from scratch. There are a couple things that we get from co-packers just to make it a little bit easier. And certainly Andy's very particular and there's no exceptions, right? There's no using, and we wouldn't propose this anyways. It's just not who we are. And so everything is to his spec and to his liking. And so he introduced us to some new ingredients. I think that were really, really exciting. And we're super happy to bring those to our guests.
Do you think he might expand on his menu at some point, or the four items are selling well enough that you don't need to?
They're selling well for sure. And I would say we don't need to, but I think the core of our business is like new news. We hear a lot from guests. They want different items. They want different selection. And so I think that's key. So you probably will see some things like a limited time offer, a seasonal item. I think what we're seeing is guests just really like a lot of variety. And this is why we invented this concept. I think when you're a well-known concept and your maybe food innovation is a slight change to something that you already have, maybe you add queso or something like that, it's not quite as spectacular as like a completely new item that's just been invented. So we haven't talked to Andy specifically about that stuff, but he's an extremely innovative guy and I'm sure he's up for, you know, anything new. So I wouldn't count it out. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So when a customer orders, can they like order something from Andy's menu and something from like a boba menu and mix and match?
Totally. That's the magic. I'll tell you this quick story where I was totally shocked. One day I was in our first restaurant in Lafayette and this mom came in, and this is when we didn't have a website or anything. Everything was through DoorDash. And she picked up an order for like Linda R. I gave her the bag. She says, another order for Linda R. It's a different brand. I gave her the bag. A third time, another order, Linda R. I gave her the bag. And I asked her, you mean to tell me you went on DoorDash, you checked out of three different restaurants and then you came and picked these up. Why did you do this? And she just said, well, you know, I have four kids. This is kind of the deal. They all complain. It's really hard to make everyone happy. And that was my light bulb moment of like, we should have a website. Like we could make it so that you only check out of one cart. And now like that might sound kind of stupid because it's like, duh, you need a website. But at the time when we were kind of experimenting and we weren't sure what this would evolve to, it wasn't quite as obvious. And so now we see 60, 70% of orders are mix and match. Someone wants, you know, rooster and rice. Someone else wants a burger. It's kind of the only place that a family can come and, you know, everyone can be satisfied. You have your kid that wants something really specific and your adult that wants maybe something more like a cow soy that's a little more advanced cuisine. And so it's been fun to see these groups come in.
Yeah, for sure. And so can they still order on DoorDash or can they only order from your website now?
You can do both. The biggest difference is you can't get mix and match on DoorDash. You can order from individual brands.
Interesting. And then you mentioned a little bit about how when you send out, you know, some dishes, you have to send that the components and then the customers put them together at home. So how does that work? I mean, is that difficult for them to do, or do you give them instructions, or how does it work?
I mean, that's the exact balance. When we're sitting in these tastings, we're thinking, is this fun or does this suck? Right. And in some senses, it is fun to take a couple things, mix them together. I mean, you ordered food, so you don't really want to be like making it yourself. It's not, you didn't order a meal kit, right? So there's a certain expectation. And so that's the balance that we're always talking about. And, you know, we have our own opinion. And then I personally call guests all the time, ask them, you know, how was it? How did this go for you and all that? So I think we will always be evolving on that and receiving feedback and making sure that the experience is good.
Which are the most, I mean, do you have several different locations now of local kitchens?
Yeah, we have 11.
11. And what are some of the items that are the most popular? Does it vary from location to location?
It can. I would say you could probably guess, like pizza is extremely popular. Burgers are extremely popular. And now we see Thai as being really, really popular.
So what do you think is next for local kitchens? Are you going to be partnering with other chefs like Andy Ricker or doing other collaborations? Will you be expanding outside of the West Coast?
Yeah, so I think a couple things there. I think really pushing the partnerships with people like Andy has been really fun. And it just creates this unique access where, you know, Andy's living in Thailand. He doesn't run his restaurants anymore, right? You can't access that. And he's really like this, probably one of the most important food creators in the country, you know, in our era, right? So I think it's important that his creations live on and everyone gets access to it because it's a really meaningful thing, I think, that he's done. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of our mission is helping people create that access. So it's a mix of kind of inbound and outbound. We're kind of always poking around, seeing who's up for what. You know, it's almost like dating. Like you need everything to be right. It can't just be because you have one thing in common that you can get married, right? And so we meet people, we have these conversations, we understand, we have a shared vision for the food and for how we want to operate. And that's really what we're looking for. And then we've been lucky to get a number of inbound requests from a lot of really well-known chefs. So I think pushing the limits there is super important. Expansion is really important. You know, we're looking at Texas, Colorado, Southern California, certainly the Pacific Northwest. And so we want to expand, you know, as fast and kind of responsibly as we can. And those are probably two big next steps for us.
Do you need a certain type of real estate footprint in order to set up?
We've learned a lot about real estate, as I'm sure most restaurateurs do. I think kind of what we've landed on is like the smaller footprint works pretty well for us. We do think having some amount of dine-in is important, maybe 12, 15 seats. Our food is mostly takeout. So even if someone's dining in, it's quick, right? They're picking up or they're ordering and they're there for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Although there's no pressure, I'm happy to have people hang out for hours. Like I think we have a strong community vibe and we want to be a place that people can count on for internet and water and bathroom and all that stuff. But generally the use case is kind of quick in and out. And then we see a lot of pickup and delivery. So parking is really, really important for us. We've learned that in all of our sites. And then naturally, I think visibility, you know, we're trying to be on main thoroughfares. We want to be in the middle of communities. We do a ton of community work. We sponsor little league teams, soccer teams. So we really want to be like the central, almost like a community center that like serves amazing food.
And you mentioned that, you know, you saw that Thai food was a missing niche in the business, but what are there other cuisines that you think might be coming up that, you know, coming in that you think are missing too?
I mean, my prediction, I think, is tasty, healthy. I think healthy is like a broad category. And when you show up with like a bland salad or something, everyone wants to be healthy, but it's like, what does that actually mean? You know, does right. it mean specific oils? Does it mean, you know, certain amount of carbs and protein and fat? And so I think we will be one of the category definers in that, you know, and really understanding how can you eat something that tastes really, really good, makes you feel good and is good for you. I think those three are tough. I think there's variations of some places have one of those, but I think healthy in the next 10 years is going to be a really interesting category. And I'm betting on that for sure.
How about Indian? There are a number of Indian fast casuals now, so I could see that fitting into that kind of space.
Yeah, Indian certainly interesting. I think it depends on the demographic a little, especially in terms of frequency. You know, we're looking for a lot of cuisines that can be enjoyed, you know, multiple days a week, lunch and dinner and things like that. And so we'll see where we land on that, but certainly it's a major cuisine in the US.
And do you do breakfast too, or do any of the concepts do breakfast?
We haven't done a lot of breakfast. I think our strategy is always to do a couple things really, really well. And so I think when you do breakfast, you really want to have a strong offering and not do kind of a half-assed job at it. And so I think at the point at which we think we can be really excellent at it and have a really specific use case, whether it's like omelets or if it's smoothies, like these are different guest archetypes.
Right.
And so when we zero in on a specific one and say, hey, we think we can serve that guest really, really well, then I think we do it. The other part is probably like the chef. If we have the right chef partner and we agree on the archetype, then we probably go for it. But for now, I'd say we're really focused on lunch and dinner. And then, you know, late night, of course, we have a lot of kitchens open till midnight and 1 a.m., which I think is very unique.
You think you'd ever be able to do like alcohol, like wine or beer or?
Yeah, I mean, I read that in our reviews every single week. Where people want it. So it's for sure on the list.
I guess it depends on the state and the regulations around it. Or
it varies wildly. But if our guests want it, then I will run through walls and I will make it happen.
Thanks so much, Andrew. You can download this episode of Menu Feed and past ones on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Pat Kobe.